The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimony. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's visit.
Hey everyone, welcome to another broadcast of the RSVP Show's Declaring War segment right here on WVTC Gospel Radio Network. Man, I'm already tongue twisted. I hope this is going to be a good broadcast, you guys. Of course, we're going to dive right into some prayer real quick, but we are on John chapter 15 for all of my awesome note takers who show up here prepared. And if you are one of those, or even if you aren't one of those, I encourage you to become one today, because we are going to be diving into some of the Strong's Concordance definitions to really break this word down a little bit deeper so that we're really grabbing the context of what is meant through these passages. So again, John chapter 15, I'll be reading out of my NASB Old School Edition translation here. And so I hope that you are ready for this broadcast, because I know I am. But we're going to be talking about God's love, you guys. We're going to be talking about Jesus as the vine, God as a vine dresser. We're going to be talking about our relationship with others. And we're also going to be talking about the relationship with the world, too. So I hope you're prepared. Brace yourself, because this is some good stuff and a lot of accountability in this passage about how it looks in action to walk this thing out in the love of God, and in honoring His ways and glorifying God alone, and really building that relationship with Jesus Christ and connecting back to God our Father. So, all right, you guys, just join me in prayer real quick and we'll get started. All right, Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you that you have already prepared a way, even when there seems to be no way, Father. We just thank you that you have already lined out the path that lays before us, and you've provided for our protection. You provided for all of our needs to be met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we just want to sing your praises on that every single day. We don't want to let that pass our minds. Let us be reminded by Holy Spirit. Bring that to our remembrance that you are our ultimate provision and you are in control of all things, Father, and that there's nothing that can come against us because we are your children and we are standing firmly on that understanding that Jesus has completely reconciled us back to you. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have actually worked out everything in us for your perfection, for your glory, Father, and we are just yielding to the process of loving you and learning what that looks like to walk that out in action, Father. And so we thank you that you have provided another opportunity in this very day to learn even more what that looks like and teach us how to become all that it is that you have for us to become, Father, as children of God. And so we thank you. We praise your name. We ask that every person that's on this broadcast be blessed with an abundant awareness of your presence today, Father. We ask that you provide even more opportunities to sit and be still before you, to come to you and reason together with this word, to have this desire ignited within our spirits and our souls to draw near to you, Father, because you say that you draw near to us when we do that. And so we know that you hear these petitions that we ask for in the name of Jesus. And if we know that you hear us, we know that we have these things, and we just thank you. We praise your name for that, Father. And we ask for even further awareness of understanding spiritual wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of you and to what the hope of your calling is, Father. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we may see clearly in all that is set before us, and teach us what it looks like to honor you in all of our ways and acknowledge you in all of our ways, not trusting in our own understanding, but trusting completely in you and just giving you our all, Father. Let us see what that looks like even more, and teach us, lead us, and guide us through these scriptures by the grace provided through Holy Spirit that dwells within us and abides in us, and dwells with us always. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. All right, you guys. So John 15, here we go. We're talking about our relationship as believers, actually believing in Jesus Christ, believing in the name of Jesus, believing in him as the Son of God, believing, like legit believing, not just saying I'm a Christian and not actually connecting the dot back to the Lord in fullness. Okay, so we don't want to be just hearers of the word and not doers only. And so we're going to dive right in here on John 15 to see what that actually looks like in action with Jesus's words directly telling us. Okay, so John 15:1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He takes every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So that is 1-3. And when we're talking about bearing fruit, we're talking about, you know, the things that are evident that we operate in that point, not to us and not to our own glory, but to God alone. It is its own testament that these things are things of holiness, of righteousness, of purity. They testify of themselves truly. And so when we're talking about this, it's talking about, of course, Jesus being the true vine and God being the vine dresser. And if you're not familiar with the process of what the responsibilities are of the vine dresser in attending to the vine and the fruit that comes from the vine, just look up vineyards and look up what it looks like to set the vines themselves in the ground, and for the growth, for the pruning, for the entire process all the way to the actual harvest of the fruits. When it comes to these vineyards, for wine vineyards, grapes, anything that is off the vine would work. But even you could take this and go look at this as also trees and stuff too. So like the avocado harvesting and stuff that you can see in other countries, you could look at the whole entire process of that and really just tie into that. Because even trees, when you go into scripture where it talks about being grafted into the vine, those things can also be done. Like if a tree is like split and broken, you can actually mend that thing back together. And I've even seen on some videos and stuff that they've actually planted a tree within a tree base, and it's actually sprung back up. So you can still have that grafting scripture tie in even to the fields of trees that are being harvested too, and those also bear fruit. But I really like the visual when it comes to the vine and vine dresser of just grapes. So that's a really good thing just to read and learn about the process. I just challenge you guys to do that. And then think about that in the way that God is the potter and we are the clay. You know, like he molds us and shapes us and prepares us and prunes back the stuff that we don't really need in our lives, that's actually dragging the the growth process, hindering the growth process, you know, in a downward spiral, if you will, if we hold on to it. So I just encourage you to, of course, submit and yield to the pruning so that you can actually bear much fruit that testifies to God's goodness, his glory, and all that jazz. And so I really wanted to highlight some word usages in Strong's Concordance today. God put that on my heart, and so I'm going to go ahead and do that. But we're on John 15:4. It says, abide in me and I in you. Now, that word abide is pulled in, it's called minnow, and it's Strong's number 3306. And so I'm going to share my screen real quick. And this is actually, let me see here, John 15:4. This is the interlinear Bible that I talk so often about for you guys to go and do some studying and get some context of what these words actually truly mean and what they're rooted in. And you can go back and look at the original writings here. And so, of course, we're in the New Testament, so we're looking at the Greek, and this is BibleHub.com. And you can go over here. If you notice, all of these little deals here, all these numbers are the Strong's numbers, and they're clickable. You can hover over them, and they'll tell you the definition, or you can click on them, and it jumps you over to the main definitions, exhaustive concordance, all that jazz. So what, of course, this minnow means is to stay, abide, or remain. And I really like the remain and stay to enhance abide, because it means, you know, to continue to just dwell, to exist, to be, you know, we're staying grounded, we're standing strong, we're rooted fully in this. We have been grafted in and we're not going anywhere. We're remaining exactly where we're supposed to be in him. And so I really like the depth of that word, but you know, of course, there's a whole list of usages of this word. I'm just scrolling right through here. If you guys are catching this podcast, be sure to jump on my YouTube channel and see the visual here on what I'm sharing on my screen. And for you guys on the radio, same thing. Go to my YouTube channel at April D. Metzler and check this out. Or you can just jump over to Bible Hub and look at it for yourself. But it's an actual existing, okay? It's we're there. We're present and we're staying present in the moment in the Lord. And so I really wanted to give this context, because what we're going to find here through the rest of this chapter is that this word abide is used repetitively when Jesus, or minnow, is used repetitively in of course, in different ways. And so I'll reread that for verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. This is that same word over and over and over again. And you guys know, when Jesus repeats stuff, there's a reason. He's not just going to sit there and talk to hear his head rattle, as one of my old math teachers would say. There's no rocks up there. He's not doing it just to hear himself talk. He's actually doing it intentionally. And so I really want to grasp you guys to grasp this abide word and what it really means. We hear it often in church lingo and language, and a lot of teachers will sit there and tell you, you know, you need to just be abiding, you know, like abide, you know, just go do it. But they don't give context and they don't really delve into what that means. And so it's definitely not something you hear outside of church, and it's not a common everyday term. And it's definitely not used in the Greek, obviously, as common. So really just take some time and invest in what that looks like, to remain in the Lord, acknowledge him in all your ways, you know, seek him first, seek the kingdom, seek his righteousness in everything, like consider it, seek it, look at, you know, look for opportunities to operate in it, to walk it out. And if there is something that's contradictory to that, then choose the one that is not contradictory. If you're looking at two paths, two things that you're going to be doing, two choices, or even more choices, like which one reflects God's love, which one reflects his righteousness, which one reflects his mercy and grace and forgiveness, you know, the same forgiveness that was given to us. What does that look like in action? And that is your abiding. You are intentionally seeking to actually be the epistle or letter that everybody sees that reflects Jesus Christ. And if he was here right now, he would be like giving you a high five in whatever it is that you just chose to walk out in. And this is not just in the public, you guys. Bearing fruit also is behind closed doors. Bearing fruit is also just simply in his presence, you can bear fruit. And so don't limit it to public perception. We're not supposed to be people pleasing. We're not supposed to be out there, you know, even swayed one way or the other. Our choices shouldn't be contingent upon whether we're accepted or not. And so our abiding first begins with Jesus, first begins with our relationship with God. And that's what he's saying here. And he says, of course, five, I'm going to read that one more time. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. What does it look like to be? What does it look like to be known as a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does it look like to glorify God alone through everything? When he says you can do nothing, remember, there's absolutely nothing left out of nothing. It's zip, zilch, nada. There's no need to reiterate that word, really, because everybody knows what nothing means. And so if we can do nothing apart from him, then it's not bearing fruit, is it? And so if we're not bearing fruit and we're not in him and we're just doing things in our own actions, in our own ways, in our own understanding, and we're not yielding and we're not submitting, then we're only glorifying the world, not the Lord. And we're definitely not giving honor to the Father. And so I just want to put that in there, but there is a proving out process. And I didn't pull that word up, but I highly encourage you to jump over to the interlinear and check out the Strong's Concordance for the word prove in verse 8 of John chapter 15. And so 9 says, just as the Father has loved me, so now he's pivoting over from abiding to love, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Whole other level of understanding here. I hope that you're grasping and God is just depositing and downloading this through Holy Spirit. But you guys definitely just meditate on what that looks like. Just as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus talking. Jesus says, I have also loved you. That's immense. That's huge. And then he turns around and says, so abide in my love. Okay. And then 10, he sits here and talks about this. He says, if you keep my commandments, like how, Lord, how do I abide in your love? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he literally asks you to do this action, to take this action, to make this decision in life. And then he tells you how to do so. And it says, he continues in verse 10, the second half of that, he says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So not only is he telling you how, he's giving you the keys to this understanding. He's also already saying, I already gave you an example of what this looks like in action. So just as I did it, you know, you can do it too. And here's here's how. Just keep the commandments that I've laid before you. And it says in 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And so on verse 12, we're going to pivot again. I'm going to share my screen again. You guys, I really want to delve into this real quick as well. But we are looking at the word. Hold on a second. One second. We are looking at John 15:12. And it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And this I've heard preached on in different ways and taken a little bit out of context when it's talking about you don't need to be hating on people. I don't care what they do to you. And you need to be loving them. And they use this verse in order to do that. And of course, yes, we don't hate people. We pray for all men so that no one falls short of that, the grace of Jesus Christ, and that understanding of the goodness of the Lord that brings all men to repentance. You know, we seek to make sure that no one misses out, right? That's sort of a good line of thought, but this particular verse is not talking about that. And I just wanted to bring that to light, especially with what we're talking about. So he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And we just heard him say, I've also loved you, abide in my love. And so we want to make sure that we grasp this understanding. But 240 is the word allelon, and it means one another or of one another. Excuse me. And so we're going down here. And if you notice in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's talking about like even a reduplicated one another. So it's like a mutualness. It's a togetherness. It's a group of individuals, specific group of individuals. And so I've also brought up the, we're looking at Strong's number 240, like I said. And we're going to break this down real quick. I'm going to make this really quick, but it's derived from or rooted in, if you've seen this down here, three separate words, allos, meta, and pros. These are three individual Greek words that this is really rooted in. And so I've brought this up. This is Strong's number 243 for allos. And get this. So it's another of more than two, another of the same kind, another of a similar type is what this scriptural word means when we're talking about allos. And then you combine that with the other two words, Strong's number 3326 for meta, like I said, and it means, listen to this. So properly with or change afterwards. So it results after the activity. It looks toward the after effect, change or result of something, right? So it's something like with, among, or after. So we hold that thought, and we're going to go over here to pros, which is Strong's number 4314 in the Greek. And it's talking about basically something that we're moving toward, and we're going with. And so properly it means motions towards a goal or destination, if you read here in the Helps Word Study. But it's like it's an implied interaction or reciprocal nature. So it's something that we're doing together. So we put all these words together, right, to get this one word that we find in the Strong's Concordance 240, allelon. Okay. And so we put all three of those together to get this one word. And so it's people of similar, a group of similar, right? One another similar people that have been changed, and we are going with one another toward a similar goal, moving forward toward a similar goal or final destination. And so if that gets you on the same bucket here of understanding, hopefully, prayerfully, when we're talking about this passage where he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And so Jesus is referring to the body of Christ only in this particular passage. It's the body of believers that he's giving a command to love one another. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding and taking out of context of this particular passage. I just wanted to lay that out there. I encourage you not to do that. Always read in full context what it's talking about and go back to the original root of the word to understand, to bring in that understanding of what he's referring to, especially when it comes to something Jesus is saying and a commandment that we're supposed to follow so that we emulate his love, right? And we are proving that we are disciples. So 13 says, greater love has no other than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. It's like, you know, God's not someone who withholds from his children. You know, he is abundantly willing. It's just that there are principles and structure in the kingdom of God that you follow. Like, you have to abide by God's statutes, his principles, his commandments, his laws that he has set forth. Otherwise, we hinder the reception of his, you know, giving, if you will. We're literally being a blocking to our own blessings. It's not that God is withholding, especially if you're in a season of waiting on the Lord for something. There is an accountability here. It's like we need to do a self-checkup, a health heart checkup. Like, where's our heart posture in everything else that we're doing? Is what we're doing reflecting the love of God? And is it actually being a demonstration of proving to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or are we proving to be a disciple of the world and its ways? Like, are we doing everything like everybody else does? Or are we trusting in the Lord with all our heart, not leaning unto our own understanding and acknowledging him in all of our ways? Like, it's all, there's nothing left out of all, you guys. And so when it comes to this, like when God comes into our lives and we actually get reconciled back to him through Jesus Christ and we accept him, we believe upon him, there is a next level that we are supposed to be seeking after to understand and operate in the fullness, not in the partiality, but in the fullness of God in Jesus Christ that we are able to abide in. So you guys, I definitely encourage you to make sure to do that heart checkup. Make sure that you are not 1% or 10% off in a certain given area. There's any root of bitterness, any unforgiveness, look to the Lord to have him help you and guide you through the forgiveness process. Because yes, it is a process, especially if there's major things that have happened, betrayals, loss, a lot of trauma and heartbreak. And there's healing that needs to happen. There's been a lot of damage of the world by people that were supposed to be in positions of honor, like parents or siblings or friends that are, you know, in your life a long, long time, and you've dealt with these things, and there's like a root of bitterness that was allowed to spring up, even though it was unintentional. You know, still submit these things, submit these considerations, and be okay with the process, the pruning process by the vine dresser, so that that stuff is out and God is allowed to work in that area and the pruning is allowed to take place so that you can bear fruit from that area. Because if there's anything that's not bearing fruit, you know, God wants to toss it out and replace it with something that will. And so I definitely encourage you to get before the Lord on those matters. Because yeah, you can wait on the Lord, but what are you doing in the waiting? Are you doing the renewal, the refining that is available to us even more than your yesterday? You know, we want to draw near to him even more. We don't want to ever stay stuck or become quote unquote comfortable in where we're at with the Lord and just stop moving forward. Again, it says love one another. And that one of those root words is moving forward to a destination. And so 17 says, this I command you, that you love one another. So he says it twice. Again, how important is this when he repeats himself? Jesus shouldn't have to repeat himself, but he does so intentionally. And so 18, I'm going to wrap this up real quick, 18 through 27. So the word's out there, but I won't really hover on this. You guys know we've already talked about this, you know, the difference between operating in a way that honors the Lord and operating in a way that honors the world. So he's being very straightforward with the disciples and us in his word right now. When he talks about this, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember, the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. So we're talking about possibly hypocrites and such that are, you know, speaking on his account and acting as if, but they're really not. So we've got to be cautious of that as well and use discernment, not through our own strength or our own understanding, but through the lens of the Word of God, as well as Holy Spirit's leading and help and counsel. And so 22, it says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. And he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. So he's saying, this is happening and I'm okay with it. He probably is sad because of it, because God, you know, he loves every single heart, but each one of us have that choice to do what we will. And I'm sure that that grieves him, as it, you know, grieves the Holy Spirit within us. And we can feel that heaviness of sadness. And sometimes, you know, I don't encourage you to do it unless you're grounded in the Word of God. But once you are and you're rooted in his love, you can begin to pray prayers like, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. And what that does is it brings in the compassion of Jesus Christ into your awareness, and you begin to have a burden to pray for the things that break the Lord's heart, that you know, because you've already learned the word. You've rightly divided, you know, you've studied to show yourself approved, to rightly divide the word of God and understand what is pleasing, acceptable, right? And the perfect will of God, right? So we can do so by our diligence of abiding in his love. The more and more we invest that time in him and in that relationship with God through Christ by the Holy Spirit, we draw near to him and we get that understanding. And so there's a whole other level of depth out there of a relationship, like a deep, loving, intimate relationship. And what that does is once it's in you, it bears that fruit, and prayer is mighty and powerful, right? And it accomplishes that which it's sent out to do, because we are praying by the word. We are standing on the promises of God and we are operating in that wheelhouse of his will. And so when it comes to, you know, Jesus coming, he brought to the awareness. He held everybody accountable. He laid the truth out, and it was there and able to be seen plainly, the difference between righteousness and justice and mercy and grace that God has, and all of the qualities and attributes of his character and his goodness and his love. He laid that out and said, this is this. Here it is. This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. This is what the rest of the world is doing. Do this. Operate in my love. Don't do this. And so sin was evident, and they were aware of their sin, is what it's saying here. And then 26, it says, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so I definitely encourage you, again, this particular chapter pulls in the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. And it shows what the connection is back to God through Christ. It also shows what role Holy Spirit is to play in the helping and guidance through the process of abiding in his love, and how that actually connects to fellow believers, and how the world is going to receive it. So not only is he preparing you and telling you what to do, but he's giving you the keys to succeed in it abundantly and glorify God alone through it all. And so I definitely encourage you to meditate on John 15, really delve deep, take some notes, write out what Holy Spirit prompts you to write out, look at, you know, cross references and all of that jazz, like just figure it out, you know, in a way that really makes sense to you. God's going to meet you exactly where you're at when it comes to studying the Word of God. And this chapter is just a great example. And God just put this on my heart today to go this route with this, so that, you know, you can really break down any, you know, teachings that were slightly off or whatever that you've heard in the past. Also understand the depth of what the word abide means, because there's not a lot of information out there when it comes to that. And you know, I've heard very rare teachings on the word abide. And also just being able to say, hey, you know what? I need to do a heart posture checkup. That accountability to the word of God, like, is everything that I'm doing in my days truly honoring God, or is it honoring the world? So, all right, you guys know that God loves you. You're not alone, and he is literally just one conversation away. And we'll tune in, of course, hopefully next time. I'll see you next time for the RSVP Show's Declaring War segment.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Allsup, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.